From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, October 8th. I'm Abby Larico. What was once a place of healing is now giving people the creeps. And neighbors say the condition of a former hospital campus in the Gravois Park neighborhood is unacceptable.
You know, there used to be windows in the entire skywalk, and those are all gone. There was an ER stretcher that somebody threw out of there a couple of weeks ago.
St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports on how residents are attempting to hold the owners of the vacant hospital accountable. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. A judge has accepted and certified the Missouri Secretary of State's proposed phrasing of a ballot item that would once again change the state's abortion laws. A Cole County Circuit judge has ruled that Secretary of State Denny Hoskins' second attempt at phrasing is fair and sufficient. It doesn't explicitly say that the amendment would again ban most abortions in Missouri if passed by voters, overturning Amendment 3 passed last year. It does state it would, quote, allow abortion for medical emergencies, fetal anomalies, rape, and incest. Hoskins lauded the decision in a statement, saying it confirms his office is following the law and protecting ballot integrity. This new ballot item would also be called Amendment 3. The ACLU plans to appeal the ruling, saying, quote, the state's ballot summary still fails to give voters a clear and honest understanding that Amendment 3 would end Missourians' fundamental right to reproductive freedom, end quote. And as part of the ongoing battle over state restrictions on abortion, Missouri's Attorney General demanded abortion records from Planned Parenthood clinics. Madeline Fox reports.
The Attorney General's office asked for patient medical records, incident reports, adverse event documentation, and communications about patient care. It also subpoenaed former board members and current medical professionals. After Missouri voters overwhelmingly opted to legalize abortion last November, Planned Parenthood sued to overturn several restrictions that remain on the books. A judge temporarily blocked some, but the Reproductive Health Organization still wants restrictions that have effectively blocked providers from offering medication abortions lifted. The Attorney General's office has pushed back. Missouri is set for a second statewide referendum on abortion in November 2026. I'm Madeline Fox.
St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery is pushing back on the Missouri Attorney General's efforts to immediately remove him from office. STLPR's Brian Munoz has the latest in the sheriff's saga.
The Missouri Attorney General's office filed a motion Tuesday, once again asking a judge to immediately remove the sheriff. Attorney General Catherine Hanway points to a slew of allegations as to why. That includes Montgomery ordering the handcuffing of then-acting jail commissioner Tammy Ross, refusing to do medical transports, and having deputies drive his kids with their work vehicles. Montgomery has denied all wrongdoing. His attorneys filed their own motion asking the judge to toss the Attorney General's efforts to oust the sheriff. They say the state's 90-page petition, quote, should not supersede the more than 100,000 votes that put Sheriff Montgomery in office. I'm Brian Munoz, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Housing, Urban Development, and Zoning Committee moved forward with a plan to continue the use of eminent domain in the Cortex District. The area near the Central West End is on track to receive a 5-year extension. City planning staff and members of the Cortex West Redevelopment Corporation say they've achieved a great deal, but there's still more to do. James Pfister is a senior planner with the city. He says 5 additional years of eminent domain will help the Cortex development reach completion.
The plan is not yet finished. The dream's not fully realized. There's still a little bit of work left to do. So that's what we're trying to unlock today.
Officials originally blighted the area in 2006 and have repeatedly extended the determination. The full Board of Aldermen will vote to approve the bill at a later date. Pedestrian access to Forest Park from the Central West End will look a little different for the foreseeable future. The City of St. Louis announced that it will have to tear down the pedestrian bridge that enters the park from West Pine Drive. It was recently hit by a car, and engineering studies determined it was too badly damaged to fix. The city is scheduled to demolish the bridge this weekend. That will force the closure of both directions of Forest Park Parkway. You can find detours for drivers and pedestrians at stlpr.org. Numerous residents in University City worry that a proposed development of more than 100 townhomes could make flooding worse. As STLPR's Will Bauer reports, UCity's Stormwater Commission voted last night to recommend the City Council deny the project.
Called the Enclaves at Canton, the project would also include pickleball courts, a dog park, and a coffee shop that would be built in an unused part of the United Hebrew Cemetery. But the recommending body agreed with the concerned residents. Commissioner Susan Armstrong says she doesn't want University City to turn into Cement City.
And I was concerned when I saw the design, as a member of this commission, that it took out so many of our trees, took out 11 acres of trees, at a time when we had lost so many trees during the tornado.
The developers couldn't be immediately reached for a comment. Ultimately, the city council will have the final word. It's expected the developer could amend their proposal, and it could be a few months before the council takes a vote. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Realtors wants to increase Black homeownership in the region. The group released a 74-page Reimagining St. Louis plan as part of a stated ongoing commitment to reducing systemic racism in the home buying process. The report assembled nearly 75,000 Black homebuyers from 2017 to 2022. It found disparities in income and loan denials. Amanda Clare is the organization's DEI director.
If we're looking at St. Louis as a whole, everybody needs to have the opportunity to build home ownership and to build that generational wealth.
The plan recommends that institutions and realtors expand access to credit, increase down payment programs, and implement fair housing practices. New findings from the Independent Monitor's 2025 report are highlighting the strides the city of Ferguson has made implementing the consent decree. As STLPR's Chad Davis reports, the progress comes as decree funding is being cut.
The report cites progress in police First Amendment protection training and stop search and arrest training. The city is also beginning a review board to evaluate certain use of force incidents. The report cites areas of improvement, including ensuring officers alert residents when body cameras are on and use of force reporting. It comes as the council voted 4-3 in June to slash consent decree funding by half over the fiscal year. Council members in favor of the cuts said they would bring money back to city projects like fixing potholes and roads. But critics say progress has ramped up over the past year and that funding cuts would be a step backward. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louisans are gearing up for Dia de Muertos, or Day of the Dead. It happens at the end of the month, and it is much more than just a holiday about death. It's a celebration of life meant to remember loved ones who have died. Families traditionally welcome back the souls of their loved ones by adorning ofrendas, altars fixed with photos, favorite foods, candles, personal mementos, and other items meant to guide spirits back to their families. St. Louis Public Radio wants to know who you are remembering this year. Help us celebrate their lives. Share memories of grandparents, friends, siblings, children, even pets, and we will use provided photos and memories to honor them online. You can find that form on our homepage or at stlpr.org/ofrenda, O-F-R-E-N-D-A. Submissions will be accepted through October 17th.
Listener support is St. Louis Public Radio's largest source of revenue and makes podcasts like The Gateway possible. Show your support for regional news by making a gift at stlpr.org, and thanks.
Drive down South Jefferson Avenue in St. Louis, and you'll probably notice the vacant St. Alexis Hospital just south of Cherokee Street. Neighbors can't help but notice it. They say the property has gone downhill quickly in the 3 years since it closed. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports people living in the Gravois Park neighborhood want someone to take action and clean up the former medical campus.
Welcome to an unforgettable adventure where we explore an abandoned hospital and almost get locked inside.
In this Urban video, explorers love vacant hospitals. Videos of their adventures are all over YouTube, including the one you just heard from the former St. Alexis Hospital on Jefferson Avenue in St. Louis. Stephanie Botkin understands the interest. She lives across the street from the abandoned building.
There's something about abandoned hospitals, like where people lived and died, and you're like, are there ghosts? Are there spirits? Are there paranormal?
And while Botkin may not know for sure about ghosts, She and her neighbors do know they're fed up with the condition of the campus at the now-shuttered facility, which takes up two city blocks just south of Cherokee Street. Neighbors say it's become a massive eyesore and a potentially dangerous hazard. Botkin took me across the street to see.
You know, there used to be windows in the entire skywalk, and those are all gone. There was an ER stretcher that somebody threw out of there a couple of weeks ago.
She claims in the 3 years that the campus has been vacant, there have been break-ins from metal scrappers, squatters, vandals, and yes, curious trespassers.
God only knows what they stole out of there.
Vandals have broken practically every window in the patient pavilion. Graffiti decorates the former nursing school. Botkin and other residents who live nearby, along with the Gravois Park Block Link Neighborhood Association, are suing the property's owners. They hope the campus will be cleaned up or that the court will declare it abandoned. In its final years, the hospital in question was a satellite campus of the former St. Alexis on South Broadway. Many older residents in the neighborhood still call the hospital by its old name, Lutheran. In 2021, the company SA Hospital Real Estate Holdings bought the complex. They're the owners targeted in the neighbor's lawsuit. I tried to contact them through their attorney, but didn't get a response. Seventh Ward Alderwoman Alicia Sanye says the hospital quickly went downhill once the tenants moved out.
Vacant properties obviously always have negative impacts on communities, but a vacant property of this size, that is this large in magnitude, that was left in the condition that it was in, definitely poses a lot of threats.
Sanye says there have been improvements. The city cleaned and secured the property last year, and she says the owners have become more responsive. They put up more than $500,000 to hire security to patrol the property. She says a potential developer has shown interest in acquiring the hospital. While the current owners put up the money for security, the potential buyer is the one managing it. Sanye thinks the cooperation between the current owners and the potential buyer is a good sign.
Hopefully, you know, the owner can either decide his own redevelopment plans or he can decide to sell a property. But in the meantime, we're hopefully able to get through what we know is another cold winter.
It's important to note that there's been no official development deal or sale. But a real estate broker did confirm the developer is looking into buying the property. Earlier this fall, the neighborhood group Acorn met to discuss the future of the St. Alexis campus. Attendees had big hopes for the vacant property, mixed income housing, maybe a skating rink or a pharmacy. But the first thing pretty much everyone, including resident Tansy Anderson, agreed on is that they want it secure and cleaned up.
I just think they should take more effort to close the building. And if they're going to hire security, the security needs to actually do what they're being paid to do.
Mostly, she and other neighbors just want something to change. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Rob Edwards edited that piece. You can see photos of what the campus looks like today at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.